So, my name is Danny Burlage. I am an MVP for Office 365. This is my hometown. I live here in Amsterdam and I work for a company called Wortel. We've been working with Office 365 and even before that, BPOS and LiveEDDU, so right from the start for many, many years at this point. The room is not full, which I don't understand because we've got 1 million small businesses here in Holland, around 1 million small businesses here in Holland. So the P plan, the Office 365 P plan, which this session is about, is supposed to be one of the most popular products of Office 365 everybody could have. So just a quick question. Who here is knowledgeable about Office 365? Who's working with it? All right, not a whole lot of people. So I'm going to do a small demo of all the capabilities of Office 365 just to help you around. Who here works for a Microsoft partner? All right. Did you know you guys get a lot of licenses for free? Office 365 licenses for free, which you actually can use within your company. So that's something which you should really think about. So just a small MythBuster before we start. Office 365 is just an online version of Office. It's not. Office 365 is not an online version of Office. It offers a whole lot of different products which are offered from the cloud towards end users. To be exact, Office 365 consists of a lot of components which Microsoft hosts in their own data centers and which are offered towards end users. Office 365 consists of several products which are offered through the web, through the cloud, through data centers for Europe here in Ireland and in Amsterdam. And which end users can consume or companies can consume and run their businesses on. It gives you anywhere access to email, to link to a SharePoint portal, but it also gives you the capability to edit documents right from the browser. So one of the things which Office 365 offers is the Office web apps, the Microsoft Office apps, which are actually Word and Excel and PowerPoint and OneNote right from the browser. And users can edit documents within the browser, but also can view the documents from within the browser. Next to that, Office 365, the enterprise version of Office 365 offers the capability to purchase a downloadable version or a streamed version of Office, which end users can install on their desktops, which is not included in the professional version, which this presentation is all about. Next to that, SharePoint Online is included in Office 365. SharePoint Online is a website and collaboration tool in which users can store their documents, work on projects, distribute tasks, have calendars up and running, but also can be used as an entire intranet, for instance. A website is included in Office 365, a website which small businesses can really easily change and have their web presence based on. So it offers different capabilities. Every company gets 10 gigabytes of space to start off with, and next to that, 500 megabytes per user's added extra. Another piece of Office 365 is Exchange Online. It's the hosted version of Exchange. It's placed in Microsoft data centers, and every user which is an Office 365 user gets a starting point of 25 gigabyte mailbox in which all their data is stored. They can access the environment through Outlook Web Access, which is the online version. If end users have Office 2010 or Office 2007 installed on their desktops, they can also consume Exchange Online through their Outlook clients. Of course, all types of smartphones are connectable, so you can use your Windows phone or your iPhone or your whatever phone to connect to Exchange Online and consume email through that. Link Online. Link is an instant messaging presence, voice, video solution. It offers the capabilities to actually see who's online as well and view their presence and start IMs and chats and do all sorts of webcasts. Next to that, the entire service is hosted and maintained by Microsoft. So Microsoft actually makes sure that all the services keep up and running. and they offer a triple mine, 99.9% uptime guarantee. If they don't make it, they'll pay you a fine. So they won't give you services for free or whatever. They'll pay you a fine for all the time that the services aren't up and running. They'll make sure that security is up and running. They'll make sure that the entire service is always up to date and up to speed. It has the latest service patches. And end users, they just purchase a license or they just purchase access to the entire suite. Office 365 offers a whole lot of value. Basically, it gives a really good productivity experience. It allows people to work together, work smarter, make sure that they can collaborate using the browser with SharePoint Online, or can send instant messages, or do video chats or webcasts towards their customers. It allows access anywhere. Anywhere where you've got an internet connection, you can consume the Office 365 services. So basically, you only need to hook up your PC or your smartphone or your browser, type in the URL, and you're consuming the service. It works with what you know. The entire service works with the base Microsoft Office products, Microsoft Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Outlook. So it's a really familiar user experience for end users. The Office web apps, which I'll show you a little bit later on, offer about the same functionality right from within the browser. By the way, the timer hasn't started. Could you please do the timer? It's robust. It's secure. It's reliable. As I told you earlier, there's a 99.9% uptime guarantee from Microsoft. So Microsoft makes sure or guarantees that the service is up and running all the time. And Microsoft guarantees that all your data is actually right here, kept right here in Europe. One of the main misconceptions is that Microsoft distributes your data all around the world. But Microsoft actually guarantees that all the data stays here in Europe and is not consumed elsewhere. There's a question.
Is it covered by the US Patriot Act?
The question is if it's part of the US Patriot Act. Yeah, Microsoft is under the US Patriot Act, so the services are under the US Patriot Act. The question is if the content is accessible through the U.S. Patriot Act. Well, basically what Microsoft does is they give you the guarantee that the data is always yours. So you are the sole responsible person for your data. If a governmental body wants to access your data, Microsoft will redirect that question to access your data to you because you are the owner of the data. Microsoft is not the owner of the data. If, of course, Microsoft is under a CIA or whatever type of investigation, or the NSA is looking into your company, and you know they put out all sorts of legal requests to access your data without notifying you, which is not totally legal, I guess. But you know, if the governmental body would do that, Microsoft will need to comply. However, the data is yours. You are responsible for the data, so every governmental body should contact you to get access to the data, not Microsoft. You're welcome. Microsoft's responsible for security and reliability. So they have these big data centers, and one of these data centers I've visited has about 250 or 300,000 servers in which the entire service is maintained. They keep several copies of the data, distributed between Amsterdam and Ireland. So they make entirely sure that your data is always safe and secure. Next to that, although Microsoft is hosting all the services, and although Microsoft is making sure that you're on the latest and greatest products, as an IT admin, you get total control over the entire environment. So you can access it through PowerShell, and you can access it through the Exchange Management Console if you want, something that a lot of small businesses will not do. But it's possible to consume those services. If you use the enterprise version of Small Business of Office 365, you'll even be able to connect it to your Active Directory and make sure that users log in with their Active Directory usernames to the service via a token. So it keeps you in control. As an IT admin, you're in control of the entire environment. The only thing that you don't have to do anymore is make sure that the servers are up and running. Make sure that the latest service packs are installed. Basically, Microsoft takes care of that, and you're responsible for the entire configuration of the service. So there weren't a whole lot of people who actually knew what Office 365 was all about, so I wanted to show you a small demo. Let me see. All right, so when you start off, when an end user logs in, what they'll see is they'll see their Office 365 start page. From this start page, a user can configure their own services, can configure their phones or configure their Outlook, but they can also start up Outlook Web Access or the company portal. Each user is presented with a quick start guide, and this quick start guide, you know, runs them through the basic steps of how they need to configure their account, how they need to configure their Outlook environment, how they can configure their phones. And not just Windows phones, but also all the other phones are supported. So a total description is presented towards the end user. If an end user has Office 2010 installed on their computers, there's a connectivity tool which allows them to configure their local Office products to make use of the Office 365 service. From the start page, Outlook can be accessed. Outlook Web Access. So if a user clicks on their inbox, they'll be introduced with their inbox as you know it. It's a normal, ordinary Outlook Web Access environment, just like an on-premise Outlook Web Access environment, and offers all the basic services. Of course, calendaring is supported, and every other feature, basically, which is supported with an on-premise Exchange server is supported to Outlook in Office 365. Another piece is the SharePoint Online intranet environment. The SharePoint Online collaboration environment actually does offer a lot of capabilities towards end users. This is a demo environment. Microsoft partners can install this demo environment. It's the Fabricam demo environment, which is a pre-configured intranet which shows off some of the capabilities of SharePoint Online. So to start off with, this is a start page in which a nice JavaScript is implemented, which shows all sorts of pictures. There's a really rich search capability, which allows users to not only search the intranet, but also all the documents which are stored in the intranet are being indexed full text. So if a user puts in a Word document, it's actually being indexed full text, and it will show up here in the search results. This is a Visio document, for instance. Results can be filtered, just as you know it, from your preferred search engine, and make sure that if you get a really whole lot of hits, you can drill down on specific searches. From here, if I go to a library, a marketing library, one of the documents which I have access to is presented. And if I open the document, what it will do is, and this is configurable, it will open in the browser. And this is actually the Office web apps which are used to access the document. The document is shown through the browser, and it's almost in full fidelity. Or it's in full fidelity. So a document which is open in a local Word client is shown in exactly the same way in the browser. If I edit it, what will happen is it will open the document and it will give me the chance, or it will give me the possibility to edit the document right from the browser. So I can make changes if I want. Let me select this. And for instance, I can add a heading or whatever I want to do. If I save it up right now, it will save the document, and it will allow me to access the document through Word or through the browser, or it will allow me to send the document right from there. If I go back to the marketing site, there's a whole lot of different capabilities here. I won't discuss them all, but for instance, there are status indicators indicating status of different projects or different lists. It will give you green, red, or yellow buttons. Also, if I go to a different document library, I can open an Excel sheet, for instance. This Excel sheet contains a lot of different features which are part of the Office 2010 suite. And again, it'll allow me to change all this data right from the browser. One of the great things which I love with Office 365 or even with SharePoint on-premise and Office web apps is that users are capable of editing the document simultaneously. So multiple users can go into the documents and edit all the different figures. So if, for instance, a financial or an administrative person is talking to a colleague, they can both simultaneously edit the same document and give feedback towards each other. Same happens with PowerPoint presentations. And first, I wanted to present this entire presentation through the Office 365 environment. However, I decided not to do it because of the slow internet connection yesterday and all the problems which we had with internet yesterday. So just to give you one more example, one of the great capabilities of Office 365 is the possibility to host forms. And these forms, they can, you know, basically help you with all sorts of day-to-day business processes, being an expense report or, in this case, a hardware request form in which users can request different types of hardware. These forms can be customized like how you want. So, for instance, if I select a monitor right here, and if I select a different monitor type, different costs for that monitor will be shown. So one thing I couldn't install it this morning was Link, which is the instant messaging and video presence environment. So just a quick question, and I'll be handing off a wristband to the party tomorrow night. Visualizing visual documents is possible, yeah, absolutely. In the browser, yeah, it is possible. It's possible within the browser. There's a separate version of SharePoint Online, which is the SharePoint Online Enterprise version, which allows you to connect to Visio services and gives you edit capabilities. It's a professional version of SharePoint Online, yeah. So does anybody know how many nines Microsoft has? So what is the uptime guarantee that Microsoft offers? Very good. So please pick up your wristband after the session, and you'll get access to the party tomorrow night, VIP access to the party tomorrow night.
I have a question.
Yes, sir. So the question was if it's possible to synchronize Office 365 with your personal live environment. And I assume that you mean SkyDrive?
Right, and then the calendar. And
SkyDrive and calendar and that sort of. So if you're looking at synchronizing, the question can be interpreted in multiple ways. One of the things that Outlook Web Access does support is setting up multiple accounts. And setting up these multiple accounts does offer the capability or the possibility to connect your Windows Live accounts in Outlook Web Access. And you can access your different accounts right from Outlook Web Access. Yes, sir. All right. So Microsoft offers three different plans. And this presentation is focused around the P plan, the plan for small businesses. And again, in Holland, there's around 600,000 to 1 million small businesses, depending on how you count it. It's a lot of different organizations. And this P plan is totally customized towards smaller organizations. I will set up an environment a little bit later on. And what you'll see is, for instance, the whole domain. Connecting a custom domain towards Office 365 is really simple in the P plan. There's also two different plans which are tailored towards other types of companies. For instance, the Office 365 for Enterprise environment, you can start off with one account, but it's also you can also use it for 50,000 accounts or even more. The small business version is aimed at organizations with 50 users or less. And because there's a hard limit, I would recommend keeping it at around a maximum of 25 users. Then there's the Office 365 for Education version. The Office 365 for Education version is free for schools. So basically it offers the same set of capabilities towards schools, and a lot of universities are currently onboarding onto the Office 365 service for free. And these are even universities with 20 or 30,000 people. So it's really large environments which can be hosted in here. And small businesses are really organizations with unique needs. They are, for instance, people who start up their own business. It's just a one-person business. Or, you know, when they start to grow, it's a couple of people who need to work together and collaborate a little bit. They need to share their documents. They need to make sure that everybody has access to the same type of files, which is easy manageable with four people. But if they grow a little bit further and, you know, they start to get a 10 or 20 or whatever people, it gets a lot harder. If you look at small businesses, their needs, typically they will not have an IT admin on staff. What they'll have is they'll have a nephew who is really good in IT and will help them around if they have some IT questions, or they'll have somebody supporting them, an IT person supporting them for a couple of hours per week or even per month, just to make sure that their services are up and running. What they'll need is they'll need to be able to have a professional environment from which they can run their entire service. They'll need a website, they'll need a custom domain to send out their emails and be able to access their emails always on the road, but also from their office or from their homes or from their holiday, because their business will never sleep. So they'll need a service which they can use basically everywhere and is up and running all the time. And this is something that Office 365 will offer towards those small businesses. Most important features of Office 365 towards those small businesses is the really large mailbox, 25 gigabytes of mailbox, but also the possibility to invite external users to use that SharePoint Online environment, which I showed you a little bit earlier. One of the features of SharePoint Online is to create subsites, and those subsites or those sites can be accessed by external users. So, for instance, customers of a small business organization who they want to share documents with, or who they want to share their information with, or all sorts of customer information, can access those different subsites or those different documents right from their browser as well. Included within the Office 365 pPlan are 500 external user licenses. So external users, customers, partners, suppliers, their wife, I don't know, can access the SharePoint Online environment for free. It can do all the same type of work which a small business user can do themselves. Link Online can be used to give webinars, for instance, towards a maximum of 250 people at the same time. And it will actually allow them to give a presentation towards their customers, and their customers can access that webinar through the browser. They can view whatever somebody is presenting. It will give them a public website. So the public website, which I'll show you a little bit later on, is a really basic website, which they will be able to customize themselves. But there's a lot of examples of really nice websites which have been created on the Office 365 P-Suite by smaller organizations who do their actual promotion through that same website. Microsoft takes care of virus and spam. So, you know, they're certain that there will not be any viruses within their SharePoint Online environment or within their Outlook Web Access environment, within their email environment. If they'll need antivirus for their desktops as well, I would recommend Windows Intune for those customers. It's a really powerful feature set through Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and all the different capabilities which really big enterprises use. So those small businesses get, for a couple of dollars per month, get access to all these different enterprise features for a really small amount of money. So they get enterprise capabilities for a small business pricing. You know, and there's a lot more capabilities which are included in the Office Suite, which I will not go into right now. I told you about the different plans a little bit earlier. I told you about the P plan, which is the plan I'm presenting on right now, but I also told you about the Enterprise plan. If you are using the P plan, or if you're selling the P plan towards one of your customers, there is some stuff you should know, because not all capabilities of the enterprise environment are available within the small business version, the P plan of Office 365. So one of those features is that it cannot be combined with the K plan. The K plan is the kiosk plan, which is a really cheap license for users who do not need day-to-day access to most of these services. So all users need a P license if they want to access the environment. The custom domain validation requires Microsoft name servers. So Microsoft will actually host or be the, will host the name server for the domain and will take over all the DNS settings, etc. Small businesses will be able to set up their domain themselves through GoDaddy or a different supplier. However, that's a little bit harder to do, so Microsoft recommends that it will be the name server for the custom domain of the customer. The customer will need to purchase the domain through a registered provider of domain names. There is a hard cap, a hard capacity limit of 50 users. So if somebody or a small business is going to go into the Office 365 P plan, they should know that beyond 50 users, there's no more possibility to purchase additional licenses. The 50 limit is a hard limit, and there's currently no way of upgrading towards the enterprise plan, so they will need to offboard all their data and onboard onto the enterprise plan if they want to migrate from the P plan towards the towards an enterprise version. Phone support is not included, so the Office 365 small business and professional version does not foresee phone support. So if there's any questions, there's a big community site, which I will show a little bit later on, in which customers can ask their questions. And all support is given towards either is provided either by the community, by people like me or other people which are on the community, or by Microsoft operators which are on the community as well, on the forums as well. But there's no phone number which a small business can call if they've got questions around the service. Something else which is a great opportunity for larger organizations is single sign-on, federation with Active Directory. A typical small business will not have an Active Directory, and setting up that Active Directory synchronization, single sign-on with an Active Directory, is really hard to do. It requires ADFS servers and all sorts of different configurations, so that's not something that is supported within the P plan. I will show you an integration module for Small Business Server, with which a user can be created with Small Business Server, and simultaneously a user is created within the Office 365 environment. One of the great things of the P plan is that cancellation is possible every month. So on a monthly basis, if a small business customer decides to go through a different service, for instance, the enterprise version of Office 365, they will be able to cancel on a monthly basis. So if they cancel, they'll need to set up their month, and then they're free to use something else. I told you a little bit earlier, there's no possibility of upgrading from the P plan towards the E plan. So they will need to offboard and will need to onboard, which is a great opportunity for system integrators, of course, because there's a lot of work in it. However, a small business should know that, that there's work involved if they really want to grow. Directory synchronization is not allowed, or it's not available. And the Office Professional Plus client is not available from the P plan. So the enterprise version is available in E1, E2, E3, E4. E3 and E4, the E3 and E4 suite, actually do carry Office downloadable from the web, installable on the client, That's not available in the small business version of Office 365. So users will need to purchase their Office via a system integrator or FAR or through a shop or whatever. If you go into specific services, for instance, Sharpen Online, there's a lot of differences between the enterprise version and the P version as well. For instance, one of the capabilities of Sharpen Online or SharePoint is to host My Sites. My Sites are personal sites in which users can store their personal documents, but also can have their personal profiles, like a company directory. This is something which is not available within within the professional services. Also, there's no SSL for SharePoint Online. So all access towards the services are through HTTP and not through HTTPS. So, you know, the service is less secure. Also, customers cannot buy additional storage. So if the 10 gigabytes of storage is not enough, and the 500 additional megabytes of storage per user is not enough, they will not be able to purchase additional storage. So they'll have to stick at the 10 gigabytes plus 500 megabytes per user. There's a question. So the question is if you can purchase additional Office Pro Plus subscriptions and combine them with a professional plan. I don't think that's possible because you will need to set up access towards both services and you will need to sign in with your Microsoft Online ID through the Office Pro Plus service hosted by Microsoft. Next to that, I don't think from a cost perspective it's wise. We would have to do the math, but I think it's cheaper to purchase an E3 license, which has Office Pro Plus, plus Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Standard plus Enterprise, and Link Online Standard plus Enterprise. It's cheaper to purchase an E3 license than it would be to purchase a professional license plus an additional Office Pro Plus subscription license. So your question is?
No, it's not a question. It's just
a remark. Yeah, so your remark is that the limit is 10 gigabytes plus 500 megabytes per user up to 25 users. Yeah. All right. So community support, capabilities, tags, blocks, and all sorts of other notes, all sorts of other capabilities which are on SharePoint Online are not available in the P plan, and that's because the My Site is not available and the user profile service included in the My Site is not available. Some workflow actions are not supported, and the Connect to Office feature is not available in SharePoint Online. So if users want to connect their document libraries towards, for instance, Outlook or a different Office version, that's not possible. SharePoint Online Enterprise features are not available. So there's no possibility to connect to, for instance, an Access database or do Excel web services, etc. And there's only one site collection. That one site collection, single site collection, is the same site collection in which the website is hosted and some other features are hosted. So there's no possibility to create additional site collections, which is available in the enterprise suites. Dual rights are not supported. And the dynamic CRM or CRM online connector is not available. So users will not be able to connect their CRM online environments towards the SharePoint Online environment and make sure that they use their data.
What about the work rights?
I think there's an error in it's information rights management, which is not available. Information rights management is the possibility to encrypt your documents right in your SharePoint Online environment. All right, so Exchange Online has some limitations as well. Multi-mailbox search is not supported, so it's not, you're not able to, as an admin, to search all the mailboxes within your organization. Rich coexistence, so setting up a hybrid environment to, for instance, migrate your current Exchange on-premise environment towards Exchange Online is not available, so you'll need to seek for a different migration possibility, for instance, PST import and PST export. There is a maximum mailbox size of 25 gigs. Within the enterprise version, if you purchase Exchange Online Plan 2, or if you use Exchange, if you use the E3 suite, there's a possibility to go and put your email on unlimited, so you get an unlimited mailbox. Transport rules are not included. They're not supported. Litigation hold. So, for instance, if the company is under investigation by a legal body, making sure that end users cannot delete any emails is not available. Journaling is not available. IRM, information rights management, is not there. And direct offboarding or deprovisioning is not supported. So you'll need to export your mailboxes towards, for instance, a PST, PST file before you can actually use those mailboxes again. Organization-wide FOPI rules, Forefront Online Protection for Exchange, you cannot configure them. So they're the base set, and that's it. And roles, different types of roles, management roles or admin roles are not available. Within the enterprise suite, there are five admin roles available, a company administrator or a billing administrator, different types of admin roles. They are not available in the P suite. Also, BlackBerry Enterprise Services, a service which can be purchased through Office 365 to host your or to manage your BlackBerry phones. The BlackBerry Enterprise Service, the added service, cannot be purchased. So BlackBerries cannot be managed in the enterprise. BlackBerries cannot be managed through the P suite of Office 365. Lastly, if you look at Link Online, again, the Dynamics CRM connector is not available. Integration with the Messenger, with Windows Live Messenger, is not supported. And unified messaging, being able to store your voicemails, is not supported in Link Online. However, things might change. And again, please keep in mind that these limitations are for the P suite, so for the Office 365 for Small Businesses suite. And what users do get is, against a really small amount of money per month, all those rich capabilities which are supported in the Office 365 environment. And there are a lot. There's a lot of different features. If your end users or if your the companies you support or if your customers need additional functionalities or need one of the functionalities which I've shown right here, which are not supported in the P suite, you should consider using the enterprise version of Office 365, even if you know those features will be needed in the near future, for instance. All right, but beware. Things change. And the first time I created this presentation was about 4 months ago, and in those 4 months, stuff changed. So they added more capabilities. They added more external users. And they're actually adding additional services all the time to Office 365. So these limitations might change in the near future. There's no real thing of saying that. If you're looking at a small business deployment, there's a lot of stuff which needs to be coordinated just to make sure that everything is run smoothly. The main thing you need to worry about is your email. So migrating your MX records from your current email provider towards Microsoft. That's your main worry if you're going to migrate into Office 365. All the other stuff is stuff which you can do simultaneously, but your MX records, making sure that there's a constant mail flow, is something which you need to time closely and which you need to make sure that runs correctly. Also, you need to worry about how you're actually going to do mail migration. Depending on the type of mail that users currently have, and small businesses which just started up might have, for instance, a Gmail account or a Hotmail account or, you know, an account which is provided by their internet provider, there are different capabilities of migrating that over. So, step one, whenever a company purchases Office 365 for small businesses, is to validate domains. if they currently do have a domain purchased through GoDaddy or whatever, they can validate their domain in Office 365 and make sure that Office 365 can actually use that domain. Domain validation just means that Office 365 recognizes the domain and that the domain is supported within Office 365. It doesn't mean that the actual domain has been migrated over through Office 365. Users can be created right from the start. These users do not need to be assigned a user license, so you can set it up and purchase the licenses whenever you need it. And you can set up SharePoint Online. So if you're setting up SharePoint Online, you can create the entire intranet environment and create the entire document collaboration environment before you should actually go and onboard onto the service. After that is worrying about mail migration. And one of the features which can be used to do mail migration, depending on the number of users, for instance, is using the connected account feature. The connected account feature actually allows you to access another email account via which is hosted on Gmail or on Hotmail or on a different provider and connected into Outlook Web Access. And you can actually drag and drop emails from that account toward your new account. It's not a recommended option, but it's a real-life option or a real-world option which end users will typically find really easy to do. You can drag and drop folders in Outlook, so you can drag and drop your inbox or different other folders if you connect to email accounts, and email will actually be migrated via the client into Office 365. You can also do a PST export and a PST import in Outlook. So if users, for instance, currently have a different mail client, you can export their email as PST and import it into Outlook, and it will be synchronized with Exchange Online. Also, there's a PST capture tool right to help you with this. Next to that, there's a lot of partners. And the partner that I prefer, it's an online service. It will cost you $8 or $9 or something like that. It's MigrationWiz, and MigrationWiz supports almost all competitive and non-competitive platforms to migrate email over. It will allow you to migrate email from Gmail or from all sorts of other services, Hotmail or all sorts of other services which are out there. Also, MessageOps created the PST importer, which will allow you to import your emails right from there. After that, after you've taken care of your email migration, you've set up the environment, you've created your users, you've made sure that your DNS is up and running to go, and basically your users are ready to access the different services, you'll update your DNS and point your MX record to the Office 365 services. So pointing your MX record to the Office 365 services typically is something which you can do in a couple of minutes, if you have access to your domain provider. However, it can take up to 72 hours for your MX record to actually be migrated or be pointed towards the Office 365 services. So it's something you need to time closely. My personal experience here in Holland is that if I change it around, the rest of the domain name service in Holland will know that I've pointed it around within an hour or so. Throughout the world, there will be some domain name service which will pick it up later. So, you know, it's something which you will need to keep track of. Also, your website will be hosted on Office 365. So that's something which you should take care or should look into, that your website is created before the DNS is changed, or that you do a advanced DNS configuration in which your website is hosted on another site. Again, within the pPlan, Microsoft will be the DNS provider. So Microsoft will take care of all the DNS pointers. This is mainly done because incorrect configurations of DNS can really lead into horrible situations where people don't have access to their email anymore, or, you know, all sorts of other capabilities. And we don't want somebody without any IT knowledge doing DNS configurations because it, you know, in the end, it can really hurt them. So Microsoft will take care of the DNS configuration. Advanced configuration of DNS is possible, but again, it's not recommended for these small businesses. It's the most technical part of the entire setup. if we set up an Office 365 pipeline environment, DNS is the only real issue or the only real hard thing to do. And even that, Microsoft has simplified it for small businesses so that a domain name can be purchased through the services or even through a small business server. However, it will lead you to a domain name provider like GoDaddy or a different domain name provider. There's a wizard which will help you with all the different steps in configuring DNS and making sure that everything is up and running. And again, system integrators or FARs or partners or other organizations are really, you know, the one to look at in these types of situations. All right, so I'm going to set up to Office 365 and do the initial setup of such an environment. All right, so if you want to purchase Office 365, what you'll do is you'll go to the Office 365 website. Let me see. Oh. From here, I'll change this to English. From here, users can actually start up a free trial. A free trial will last for 30 days, and after that, they'll need to purchase the service. But they can also go on and purchase the service directly. There's a possibility to compare the plans right from here. Oh, no thanks. And you can actually have a high level. There's a high level differentiation between the different plans. Just email, small business plans, the P plans. Or mid-sized plans which have all the features and functionality in there. From here, you can create a free trial or buy the service. So if I create a free trial, what it will ask me to do is put in my basic data, my company data. I will put in my country. I will use English. Then it Berlin. I can put in a phone number. And I will need to put in an email address. This email address is a different email address than the email address which will be actually used within your P plan. So it's advisable to set up, for instance, a Hotmail account and have that set up as a secondary account. It will be used, for instance, for password resets of administrator accounts. So if a user loses their password, a new password will be sent towards that alternative email address. And users from here can choose their domain name. This is a domain name, which is a subname or a subdomain name of onmicrosoft.com. So they will connect their actual domain name or DNS name later on when using the service. So take that demo. Check availability. All right, it's available. Oh. All right. I'll need to set up a password, which is a strong password. Oh. Thank you. And I'll need to do the verification. All right. Microsoft will typically not contact you if there's any questions or any problems. However, they do ask if they can actually contact you. If you set up a trial, what will happen is that Microsoft will look into the trials which have been set up. If there's no partner connected towards the trial, Microsoft will contact those customers and ask if they want a partner to help set up the services. So if you're a partner, if you're setting up a trial environment for your customers, make sure that you put your partner ID in there. Otherwise, Microsoft will call up the customer, ask if a partner is connected towards the trial, and will recommend a partner to use or a partner to help them to set up the entire service if the customer desires it. So right now what I've done is I've put in my basic data. It doesn't ask me for a credit card. It doesn't ask me for any other verification at all. And within a couple of minutes, and I'm not going to wait for that, within a couple of minutes, the entire environment is set up for me to use. So here it is. What it will do is it will ask me for my basic data. So it will ask me for a phone number and a secondary email address. And this phone number and secondary email address is really important because a lot of people lose their passwords, and typically only the administrator is capable or is the one who can change passwords. So if the administrator loses his password, the entire service is not reachable anymore. So please provide a mobile number or a different number. All right, save and continue. And from here on, the entire service will be set up. This will take a couple of minutes, and Sharpen Online, Exchange Online, Link Online, and all the other services will be available. So if you will send an email towards admin at tech at demo, big number, it will actually be it will actually be available within the service within a couple of minutes. From here, one of the main steps, as I told you earlier, is setting up the domain name service. So the base domain which is provided is tech at demo 123456789 at .onmicrosoft.com. Users will have that as their basic domain name when logging into the service. Of course, this domain name is way too long and way too complicated, and it isn't really professional, so you'll want to set up your own domain name and have your customers send emails towards that own towards your own domain name. So from here on, I'll click Add a Domain. I'll choose a different domain. This is a DNS demo. .nl. Next. All right. And I can choose instructions how to do this with GoDaddy or another DNS provider. Small Business Server will actually allow you to purchase a domain name right from your Small Business Server. Here, only the steps for configuring your DNS are provided. So here are the steps for GoDaddy, and it will actually show you step by step by step what to do to make sure that Office 365 can use your domain name and can be connected to the environment. So basically, they're really simple steps. Another thing which you should do right after configuring the service is make sure that your users are created. So users can be created either by hand, just by putting in their data. Also, a script can be used, or an Excel file, for instance, can be used to upload multiple users at once. So from here, I can click Add New User, and I can type in all the different data. Luke, next. All right, it'll ask me if this user needs administrator permissions. If a user does have administrator permissions, he or she will be able to configure all the services just like I as an admin can do. So in this case, I'll choose no. Next to that, I'll need to set the user location. And this user location is really important because some services are not available in certain countries. For instance, link voice support is not available in certain countries if a local link authority or local telephony authority or local governmental organization will not allow peer-to-peer voice connections. So the question is, what if you live in a country where VoIP, for instance, is not supported, and you just choose a different country? Then it'll work. I think it's somewhere in the fine print that it's not allowed to do it, but it'll work. Yeah. Microsoft doesn't check it. No. What you specify here is the base user location for a specific user. And that base user location for a specific user is the user location where the services are hosted. But Microsoft does not check if that user lives in Holland or Germany or whatever other country you want. So you would be able to put in a different country, and the user will be able to use the different services, yes. So your question is, if you're a partner and you want to administer 100 or whatever customers, do you need to add yourself as a user to all those different environments? No, you don't. If you're a partner and if you sign up to be a Microsoft Cloud partner, there's a Cloud Standard and a Cloud Accelerate partner, you will get delegated administration. And if you use delegated administration, you'll get your own Office 365 environment for free. Microsoft will give you that. And from there on, you can add or can manage all your different Office 365 environments. However, a customer can actually disable you as an administrator, which is logical, if they don't want to use your services anymore. So if a user goes in as an administrator and does it by mistake, you will not be able to access their service anymore. But, you know, typically, a small business organization will not go in as an administrator to admin the different services. You need to be a Cloud Essentials partner at the minimum to be able to do this. So you will need a specific bar before you can administer or use delegated administration. Using delegated administration as a Cloud Essentials partner is new. It's a new functionality. It used to be only offered for Cloud Accelerate partners, delegated administration. And they just did an announcement 2 or 3 weeks ago that they're going to change that. I'm not entirely sure if it's been changed already or it will be changed within the next month or so. Yeah, all right. So I choose a location from here, Netherlands. Next. I can assign a license to the user. I can also choose not to assign a license to the user, just to make sure that I set up all the different users before I go on and purchase the services. I can also choose what kind of services the user gets. So there's no mixing and matching. So for instance, if you've got 20 users and only 10 users need SharePoint Online and 10 users need Exchange Online, it's not possible to combine the different licenses towards different users. So if I, for instance, deselect Link Online, that license will not be available for another user. So you might as well select it as well. So right now, it's assigning the license, it's creating the user, and it will send out an email towards admin@techaddemo.onmicrosoft.com. And from here, the user will actually be able to access the service. This will take a second. All right. And here's the temporary password. So the end user will need to change the password after the first time they log in towards a different password. So one thing which is wise to do for small business companies where end users have a lot of trouble to do this is to change the password for them or give them a password which is a difficult password, just to make sure that they have a difficult password, which is not easy to access. I can also choose bulk add. So if I were to add 25 users, for instance, I could bulk add them all. And what I would do is I would create an Excel sheet and edit all these users through bulk add. So if I click bulk add, a sample CSV file will be provided towards me, which I just have to fill in, and all those different users can be added by that service. What I can also do from here is, for instance, look at the service health, and what service health will provide me is insight into how the service is performing. Again, Microsoft is providing 99.9% uptime. And every time there's something going on or specific servers or specific services have an issue, Microsoft will show it on this dashboard. Information is really good in here. It gives you really detailed information about what's going on with the different servers. However, sometimes there over-explanating what's happening, and there might be a problem reported, which is not actually a problem, so please look into the details, which are available if you hover over it or if you click on a specific task. So here's an entire list of all the problems with Exchange Online over the last months. Microsoft did get their 99.9% uptime over the last months, here in Europe at least, and they're pretty good at both communicating and telling what's going on. Also, there's a notification for planned maintenance. Planned maintenance, for instance, is whenever new features are added to the service, which is typically every 3 months or so. They will notify you about the services which are going to be added, and it will let you know in advance when the services are being added and if the, for instance, your Sherman Online or Exchange Online environment is going towards a read-only mode for a specific timeline. So this typically happens on a Friday to Saturday night or Saturday to Sunday night, you know, deep in the night, and it's typically only for a couple of minutes that a Sharp Online service or another service goes to read-only mode, and they don't do it during the week or whatever. From here also I can manage my licenses and of course also purchase additional licenses if needed. Users, when setting up an environment, will need to download their software. So they will need to go on and download, for instance, Link, the Link client, to be able to do instant messaging and presence and video conferences and voice conferences. So they will need to download Link and install it on their desktop. And, of course, users will need to configure their Office 2010 apps if they use Office 2010 locally. Sure. Yeah, the question is if there are Link clients for Mac. Yeah, they are available. Yeah, there's a web version and yeah. All right. So right from here, I can actually go towards the community support. And community support is really important in the P plan because in the P plan, again, there is no telephony support. So end users or customers of Office 365 P plan will need to contact a partner or they will need to contact community support if they run into problems and they don't know how to figure it out. So if you go to community support, what will happen? The base site is open, and from here you can ask all sorts of questions, and there's a lot of and there's a lot of people actually answering all these different questions. Okay. Sorry, I don't want my name to be on a different account, so I hope this works. A section which I really want to show you within community support is the ability to download all sorts of troubleshooting tools, which will allow you to troubleshoot the entire service. So, for instance, if you've got a problem with one of your clients or workstations, you will be able to use those different troubleshooting tools to find out what the problem is, and actually, you know, troubleshoot it. So there's a troubleshooting within community support. This will allow you to, via several steps, download the right tooling and from there troubleshoot what's going on. So in this case, I'm using the professional small business version. I'm an administrator. I'll click Next. From here, I can select a service which I'm having problems with. So for instance, in this case, Sherman Online. Next. A type of service which I'm having problems with. So, for instance, administration. I can select an issue. Next. And what it will do is it will provide me with all sorts of different solutions towards the problems that I'm having. And if available, I can download all sorts of tooling to troubleshoot the environment. Also, of course, within the community, I can ask my questions within the forums. And typically, those questions are answered on a pretty quick basis. So on a pretty quick basis, people will answer your questions. If you have the enterprise plan, there is administrator phone support 24/7 available. So if you have a problem, you'll just call up a number, and a Microsoft engineer will help you with your problem at that point. That's not available for the professional environment. All right. I'm handing out one more wristband for the party tomorrow night. Is phone support available for the P-Plan, yes or no? No. All right. Who answered that? All right. Pick it up. You can pick it up later on as well. Okay. So after you've set up the environment, set up your users, set up your DNS, you've got to install Link on the client, run the Office 365 setup utility, which will actually configure the Office 2010 clients, and you can launch Outlook and start working right from there. Users will put in their Office 365 username and their password, and it will, you know, synchronize all emails on the background from there. Auto discover works, so you don't need to put in all sorts of server names, etc. So they just have to end users will just have to put in their username and their password. And if needed, migrate the email at that point. So migrate over with MigrationWiz or with PST imports or drag and drop at that point. Small Business Server is a product which is aimed at small businesses. There's different types of small business servers available. Small Business Server Essentials, which carry the base essentials of Small Business Server, and Small Business Server Standard, which next to the base essentials also offer Exchange and SharePoint Foundation, Windows Update Services, and a lot of other services. Small Business Essentials is the version which can actually be connected with Office 365. And users can have their email hosted in Office 365. And for instance, user account creation or password resets, etc., are supported right from the Small Business Server Essentials version. Standard is the full on-premise environment. Essentials is basically a Small Business Server version tailored towards Office 365 and focused at online services customers. So really small businesses who do need a on-premise server are really, Small Business Server Essentials is really a good option for them because it will allow them to set up the environment pretty easily, but also will support, for instance, remote desktop services and all sorts of other great functionality, which a lot of small businesses do really want to use. So it gives them a single sign-on experience. And as I told you earlier, I told you that there is no single sign-on within the P-Plan. Office 365 for SBS Essential gives you a single sign-on experience. And what it will actually do if a user changes his or her password at a client, it will capture the password change and it will synchronize through PowerShell the password change towards the online services. So there's no real single sign-on experience. It gives the feel of a single sign-on experience, which is great for end users. So I'm running this entire presentation from my small business server. I installed Office on it, which is not a recommended practice, but I needed to give the presentation. And if you have your small business server installed, what you'll have is your small business server dashboard. The small business server dashboard is the entire configuration utility for your small business server environment. So from there on, you can configure all your different services which are available in the small business server, including the Office 365 components. So one of the things which you will need to do if you want to connect your small business server with Office 365 is set up Office 365 integration. I've done that already, so I can do it again. But it's three or four simple steps in which you download an additional service pack or download an additional integration pack, install it on the client, give in your administrator username and password, and the integration module at that point is installed. From there on, an Office 365 tab is provided, and this Office 365 tab actually gives some basic details about the environment. It will tell you who the technical contact is for the Office 365 environment. It will tell you what kind of subscription you have, how many licenses have been used in the Office 365 environment, when the Office 365 environment is bound to expire. In this case, my trial is bound to expire next Friday. And it will tell you what kind of domains are connected to Small Business Server Essentials. In this case, the tech at office365.onmicrosoft.com domain.
Also, I'll put in a different domain name, which I won't go in at this point. That's it. That's what the Office 365 tab offers. That's it. If I want to use or create or change users, for instance, I don't do that from the Office 365 tab, but I use the Users tab to do that. Users will automatically get access to the Small Business Server environment, and also simultaneously an Office 365 account is added next to the Small Business Server account. So from here, for instance, if I add a user account, all right, I'll put in a domain name. All right, I'll have to supply a password. I can select what kind of user it is, if it's a standard user or an administrator. In this case, I'll leave it at a standard user. Click Next. I can specify what kind of permissions they need towards a file share. In this case, I'll give them read-write permissions to the file share. I can supply information about the Office 365 email account which needs to be used. In this case, sandra.direct@office365.onmicrosoft.com. And I can supply what kind of services, small business services, the user gets access to. From here on, I will create the account, and the user has been created, and they can actually use both Small Business Server and Office 365 with the same password, same username, etc. That's it. It's simple. Small Business Server integration with Office 365 offers really basic integration to use different services and to have users created their email addresses, etc. So from here on, one of the capabilities which I do have is to link a domain to Office 365. So if you don't want to do DNS setup in Office 365, you can actually do the DNS setup from your Small Business Server, purchase your domain from your Small Business Server, and it will be configured in your Office 365 environment automatically, so you don't have to do anything at all. So if I want to configure my domain name, what I'll do is I'll set up a domain. All right, get started. What kind of domain name do I want to use? All right. .com. Next. It will check if the domain name is available or not. If internet still is working. All right, so while we're waiting for that, actually a lot of small businesses which we service ask the question if what will happen if their internet connection is going down. You know, we had the same thing going on here yesterday, of course. So one of the things we recommend them is to purchase a second Wi-Fi UMTS card by Vodafone or KPN or a different provider, and actually, you know, have that set up as a router so all the different computers can connect even when they're online. So it's been configured. The domain name is available. How do you want to configure your domain name? So set it up automatically. From here, I can purchase it through GoDaddy. It's not available to set up yet. Do I want to purchase it? Yeah. All right. And from here, I can open up GoDaddy. GoDaddy has a specific website for Small Business Server Essentials where I can purchase my domain name and the entire service is configured automatically from there. So it's really worth looking into if you want to use that service. Right now, I will not do that because I need to provide a credit card and, you know, all sorts of other stuff, and I don't want you guys to wait for that. All right, so the integration is account creation. A Small Business Server is an Office 365 user. An Office 365 user is a Small Business user. In both environments, I can configure Office 365 not to create a Small Business user account, which we will not do, by the way, anyways. But I can also configure a Small Business Server not to create an Office 365 account if I have specific users on my Small Business Server, which I do not want on Office 365. I can do password resets. And users can do password resets, and the accounts will actually be synchronized over the two environments. I can do license management, so I can unassign or assign licenses to Office 365 users right from my small business server configuration panel. And I have basic tenant overview. When is the tenant expiring? Who's the technical content? That sort of Office 365 tenant information. Small Business Server works with all the different plans. So I showed you integration with the P plan at this point, but it will also work with the E plan or with all sorts of other different plans. Because in the background, synchronization is actually going through PowerShell commands. This is something which you would be able to set up for another domain server if you want yourself. So the domains are managed and they're automatically configured by Small Business Server. Office 365 wants to host your DNS, so that's something you need to take care of. And single sign-on, and especially what's mentioned here is Active Directory Federation Services single sign-on, which is not available in the pipeline anyways, is not a suggested SMB option. So again, Office 365, that's my wrap-up slide. Office 365 is a combination of all these different services. If you need the full desktop version of Office 2010 available within the service, you'll need to use an E-plan. Otherwise, the P-plan is a great option for small businesses to start off with and maybe in the future migrate over to the E-plan. Thank you very much. All right, so I did had some wristbands. If there's anybody else who wants to come towards the VIP party, you sat through a whole hour of my presentation, so please pick it up.